was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night folds in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Behold that pale horse, Resurrect Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Folks, the Republic is in flames. North Carolina has moved in the military. A lot of the useful idiots there are just embracing it. Of course, we have hacked messages of Black Lives Matter admitting to the speaking to Lynch about the Operation Summer of Chaos, exposed as the Obama administration's Soros BLM plan to activate martial law before the general election. We have from the top of the food chain to the bottom of the food chain in your local governments a complete takeover. From the inside out, we have one of the most important positions that we the people could ever hope to have the responsibility to do, which is become a juror, which essentially is a judge. And I want to make this clear. A lot of people don't realize this. Remember by 12? Those are judges. They have an extreme authority and responsibility. And we have on the line with us our good friend Carl, who pointed out some crimes by locals in his area. A retired judge and police chief arrived to meet with the current sitting police chief of that jurisdiction to inform him of the crimes, to give him the opportunity to do his job, and if not, to effect a citizen's arrest, which he is well within his authority to do, and so is Carl. Of course, that did not go so well. These folks are under the impression that today, in today's day and age of 2016, who's ever heard of a citizen's arrest?
Oh, well, I have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so have I. Mm-hmm. And so is Carl. Well, we have a clip of the retired judge out front of this meeting. And I want to share this with you as opening up this show. We have a lot of stuff a lot of ground to cover tonight. But I want to start off with that clip. Mike, do you have that clip ready? First one we sent to you.
There's two separate stories. Are you recording?
Yes, I am.
There are two separate stories occurring here tonight. One deals with three county commissioners who, for whatever reason, neglected to file the filings required by the state transparency commission, the old ethics commission. And they were assessed penalties. Well, they have neglected for several years to pay those fines. the Georgia Constitution, Article 2, Section 2, Paragraph 3, says that any person holding a public office who holds public monies is not entitled or qualified to hold that public office. There is also a statute, Title 45, which deals with exactly the same thing. Any public officer holding public monies is not a public officer anymore. However, that same statute does go on to say that until he is put on notice of his arrearage or his not having paid the public monies to the state, that he will have the power of an ex officio official. But he can be removed from his office, and he is not a legal, in this case, commission member. Now, in the case of Tracy Lawson, the district attorney, Ms. Lawson, about a week and a half ago, committed several felonies when a group of citizens went to the grand jury area in the courthouse where they met the security officer in charge, who was asked to let us deliver a letter to the bailiff. In the alternative, he could have brought the bailiff out and we could have handed our petition to the grand jury in his hands or her hands. I don't know whether it's a he or a she. And that individual, in turn, could have placed it in the hands of the district attorney. Well, what happened was, as we were conversing with the security officer, Ms. Lawson came by. I didn't know her at the time. But I did hear her, in a low tone of voice, tell Carl, we're not having this in our courthouse. And she disappeared. The next thing I know, when he told me who she was, we retired around the corner to a bench where we could discuss our options. The next thing we know, four officers show up down there to block that hallway that we just come out of. And Ms. Lawson and her investigator, Baker, I believe his name, came from the other direction, telling us that we had to leave. We were not going to see the grand jury. Well, the problem in the state of Georgia is the grand jury is defined in Article 1, Section 1, Paragraph 11. It is established as a court of inquiry, and it is clothed with power that no other government officer has, the power to judge the law. Those words make every grand juror a judge, not just of the facts, but of the law. The same applies to a criminal trial jury. In all criminal cases, the Constitution says the jury shall be the judges of the law and the facts. At any rate, she had deputies. I assume they were all deputies. One of them was a big guy wearing a black suit. Telling us that we were going to leave the courthouse. As she was doing this, I stood up and introduced myself and explained to her that I was a former, retired from Department of Transportation, that I was a former chief of police for the city of Wyatt, a former judge in Bartonville County, and could I converse with her in her office. And she agreed. On the way down the hall, she turned her head over her left shoulder and made the comment out of the hearing of everyone else that if I were a former police chief and a former judge, I would know how things work. Well, that's been my problem for 20-something years. I know how things work and I know how they're supposed to work, and the two are not the same. But at any rate, when we got into her office, she directed me to a seat. She made the comment that her job was to get cases, decide what cases went to the grand jury. And I looked at her and said, and she grabbed her big, thick Georgia Code reference book and was flipping through it. And I told her, I said, all I want you to do is show me one statute or one provision in the Constitution which says you have the exclusive authority to decide what information gets to a grand jury. Well, she's just flipping them pages like crazy when her colleague spoke up and made a comment. And I can't recall exactly what he said, but I looked over him and I asked him, I said, haven't you read the First Amendment of the Constitution dealing with petition and speech? And at that instant, she slammed that book shut and started waving her hand like that and said, no, 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 this is over. This is done. We're out of here. Y'all gonna leave. And she was adamant. So we got up. I went back out, explained to these folks that we needed to leave. And we started out the door, or started down the hallway towards the balcony. Everyone who was standing there, all the Clayton County officers and the district attorney, all followed us down the hall to the balcony. On the way there, I don't know how many of these other individuals heard her comment, but she did say loud enough for me to hear, there is always a criminal prosecution for intimidating a grand jury. Ladies and gentlemen, when a public official threatens me with criminal prosecution for a crime I have absolutely no intention of violating, I'm going after that public official. I'm going to explain to them in some way they can understand. Tonight, this is the way for her to understand. She is going to answer. And I'm going to be waiting right here. Now, if they want to come out here and arrest me and put me in jail, they better have something better than bologna sandwiches. I will be filing a federal technical assistance visit.
Should that happen?
But that's basically,
who are we going to contact? U.S. Marshals, FBI again?
Contact the FBI.
But the FBI has already shown that they don't...
The FBI can be contacted.
I get the idea there.
The FBI will probably not...
So there we have it, folks. This man and Carl, I was there in attendance recording this on behalf of RTR. And I have to say that I witnessed the law being presented to this police chief. I witnessed him shrug at it and push it away as if it were a virus. And I watched what were supposed to be a nation of laws, or excuse me, a union of laws, basically just spat upon. Now I'm going to turn this over to Lori. Lori, you have something ready?
Yes, I wanted to speak to some of our listeners because, as you know, Tom, we have some new listeners as well. So I want to just bring up this point about citizen arrest.
Are you talking about federal ones, or are you talking about the ones we were talking about the other day?
Right. Well, hopefully we have a lot more new ones. So anyway, what I wanted to address really quick was citizen's arrest. And this is easy to find information on citizen's arrest, but in certain situations, private individuals have the power to make an arrest without a warrant. These types of arrests are known as citizen's arrest. They occur when ordinary people either detain criminals themselves or direct police officers to detain a criminal. Citizens' arrests are subject to fewer constitutional requirements than an arrest by law enforcement officers, but citizens' arrests still have rules that govern them. Failure to abide by these rules can result in civil and criminal liability for the arresting individual. Now, this is what you need to know as our listeners. In felonies, a person can arrest someone that they reasonably suspect of committing a felony, even if the felony didn't occur in the presence of the individual making the arrest. As long as a felony was actually committed and the individual making the arrest knew of the crime, a reasonable suspicion about the identity of the perpetrator will justify their arrest. The felony must have actually occurred before an individual can make a citizen's arrest. Even if a person reasonably believes that a felony has occurred, if the crime did not in fact happen, the person making the arrest could become civilly and criminally liable. Now, what we need to know, this is lawful, and you have this right. Every individual is empowered to arrest wrongdoers in certain circumstances, but individuals looking to make citizens' arrest act at their own risk. Not only is the act of apprehending a criminal inherently dangerous, but failure to meet the legal requirements for citizen's arrest could have devastating consequences for the person making the arrest. Now, in Carl's case, and in Judge Nally's case, they did do the citizen's arrest. They dotted their I's. They crossed their T's. They did everything 100% lawful. And they never tried to lay hands on these individuals that they had proof of violating the law. And if I am not mistaken, Carl, weren't there felonies involved?
In both cases, in the case of Tracy Lawson and in the case of the commissioners.
Correct. So they have proof, solid proof, of felonies of these individuals that they placed under citizen's arrest. Now, what do I mean by they didn't lay hands on them? There were police officers there. They told the police let them know, put them on notice that they were under citizen's arrest. Then they instructed law enforcement to do their job, because in Georgia, you don't have the option, according to the code, you don't have the option when you're a law enforcement officer and you've been instructed to place that somebody under citizen's arrest. It says you shall take them into custody. Is that correct, Carl?
That would be correct.
Would you like to go into it now that our listeners have a little bit more detail about citizen's arrest and they know that it is lawful standing? And if whatever state you're in, just look up your citizen's arrest laws in your state, because I guarantee you have them. Would you like to go in detail a little bit more? Because after this, we know that the main issue that one of these corrupt individuals had is they were doing their darndest to keep you away from the grand jury and away from a public courthouse. Now, understand this.
This is exactly what the whole hullabaloo is about.
Right.
We have criminal allegations. We do not trust the police, sheriff, or district attorney to get those allegations in front of a sitting grand jury who has all the power they need to deal with this, regardless of the interaction of either the district attorney or a judge. Mm-hmm, they are independent Article I Court of Inquiry. They are the most powerful entity that we have, we the people have, in this country right now. Now, they don't.
Looks like they've been kidnapped, Carl.
Well, of course they have. Of course they have. But you know something? I firmly believe we can snatch that victory from the jaws of defeat.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And we've got some really good stuff happening right now. A lot of people have been coming forward and getting involved.
Good, good. Why don't you tell us about the updates and everything that's going on that?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was at the Henry County grand jury meeting today, because on Tuesday night I spoke before the county commissioners, Henry County Board of Commissioners, and after the meeting I met a candidate for the office of commission chairman. His name was Don Henley. And his wife just happened to mention, because, you know, Lori, I'm kind of focused on this stuff, so I do mention what I need. And I mentioned to this candidate that this is what I need from him. I need some help to get before the grand jury. Well, as it turns out, his wife says, you know, I know somebody who's on the current grand jury.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I said, that's great. Great, you know, and we had a nice conversation, and she said, well, I'm going to contact her tonight, and you be there, and she can call you in. And I said, yeah, that's exactly the way this works. Well, last night, I had another friend of mine who was trying to help this candidate out place a call to him to find out if, in fact, his wife had done as she said she was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go again, politics, because mm-hmm. all we heard was crickets.
Mm.
So, you know, it's not that's unexpected. But I showed up anyway on the off chance that I'd get the chance, and then I had a few words with the district attorney there once again, letting him know that, you know, what I have is private privileged information that needs to go directly before them. And you don't have any right to stop me from from presenting this stuff. And, you know, we had our little tete-a-tete there. And bottom line is, he feels just like Tracy Lawson did over there, that he's more than the gatekeeper. He will determine what they hear and what they don't hear.
Right.
That, friends, is what we're dealing with. And that's what we're going to work around. And we will work around that.
Right, right. And the thing that the listeners need to understand, when the secrecy, quote unquote, of the grand jury, when that was set up because of people that were in high up places that could oppress the people, and they had to keep it secret so they weren't threatened or killed or anything like that. That is what the secrecy of the grand jury is about. It's not when you're talking about a grand jury that's doing a normal indictment, the individuals who are being accused have a right to go before the grand jury and talk to them. But what is happening is that secret of the information getting to the grand jury and then being able to investigate that stems from, because corrupt politicians in the past and leaders in the past or kings or whatever, you know, have gone on, they needed it to be done in secret so that their lives were not placed in danger.
Okay, Lori, let me stop you there, because what I'd like to do is I'd like to read to you something that we've been trying to get the newspapers to print as an ad, to buy a half-page ad, which they refuse to print.
Oh, really?
Hear this.
Sure.
It says, the Constitution of this state does not create you. You existed long before the state of Georgia. Your roots go back 800 years to the Magna Carta. Your existence in our scheme of the rule of law is acknowledged in Article 1, Section 1, Paragraph 11 of our Constitution. That one paragraph establishes you as a totally independent Article 1 court of inquiry. It makes each of you a judge and recognizes your ancient common law power to be judges of the law. In the proper performance of your duties, as given you in your oath of office, you answer to no man, no government agent, no judge, and no district attorney, and certainly no monarch, prince, or potentate.
So much for instructions to the jury.
And that's what I'm getting at. The reach of your power knows no bounds upon the face of this earth for any crime committed within your county limits. You may pursue or cause the pursuit of an offender from pole to pole and upon every landmass between, or at least those with extradition treaties. If you wish to see the present limit of your jurisdictional reach, you must step outside your home and look up. But even then, when mankind settles the distant planets, even that view shall become too short. There's more to it. This was something that Paul crafted, and it's a beautiful piece of work. But unfortunately for the papers, it contains too much information. And that information is a very threat to their existence, because they are the media.
Why don't we name them? Do you know which media organizations refuse to allow you to purchase an ad?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't you name them?
It's the Southern News Media Group. It's owned by Cox Enterprises. Cox, I'm sure everybody recognizes as being a cable provider. It also owns the regional newspaper here in Georgia called the Atlanta Journal the Atlanta Journal Constitution, and they have their ties in every local media outlet in the state.
Did I hear you right that one of them is called the Atlanta Journal Constitution?
Did I say that? I meant to say Atlanta Urinal Constipation.
That's hilarious. Seriously, is that their title?
That would be
Atlanta
their title.
Atlanta Journal Constitution. Wow. Yeah. They have Constitution in their title.
I don't believe the freedom of the press is the concept that was engaged in to allow them to also suppress truth.
No.
Quite the opposite.
Not only that.
It's purchasing an ad, so that is something also to consider about that. But, Carl, if you will send that to me, I will gladly do an article on these news organizations that don't want to accept that ad.
Oh, sure, I'll be happy to. You know, Lori, what we're dealing with here is a It's a web. It's a club.
Mm-hmm.
It's the good old boy network, which is the club. And the club is part of the bigger club. The bigger club resides in D.C. It's all corporate. We know it's all corporate. We know it's controlled monetarily by the bankers, the global bankers, by the way. And
foreign relations.
Hey, they've got it covered both ways. Don't get me wrong. But look, we don't have time to mess around with the whys and the wherefores. What we do have right now is a list of criminal allegations that need to be heard before the grand jury, and that is going to happen. It may not happen this coming week. It may not happen the week after that. But I can tell you that I have 100% confidence that it is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we
have other things going that I cannot disclose right now. But I want to tell you that I'm excited. And, Tom, you should be too. Because that which we have been trying to accomplish looks to really be at hand. But I digress. I don't want to leave you hanging on that. I do want to tell you about something that's happening right now that is of concern to everybody across the country. You know that George Swartz, a.k.a. George Soros, funds all kinds of dastardly, anti-American, divisive organizations across the country, right?
Mainly
mainly media stuff. But, yeah, he does. Well, as it turns out, he has contributed something like $100,000 to the campaign of one person in the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
That person just happens to be the district attorney candidate for Henry County, my county.
Oh, beautiful!
50-something counties.
Yeah, I know you're so
159 counties. We got all these other elections going on. But he saw fit to get his group involved in us here.
And this guy's not even from around here. The DA.
Wonder why that is, Carl.
I don't know. I can't really figure it out, Tom. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would they do something like that? Unless, of course...
Agenda 21, darling.
Well, you know... It
goes a little bit more personal. It's a little bit more personal than that, Lori.
That it is. But I made it personal at the commission's meeting on Tuesday night. And you can go to the Henry County Board of Commissioners website and pull it up, and you'll see what I had to say. But in a nutshell, the group that did the work of this wonderful new DA, and he is the new DA right now I'll continue later.
Yeah, we'll take a break right there. And by the way, Georgie, hope you got your ears on, buddy, you communist piece of dirtbag garbage. Back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Angioprim can unclog blocked arteries and improve blood flow in all parts of your body. Angioprim is oral chelation. Easy, simple, liquid oral chelation. You take it with juice before breakfast and forget about it. Angioprim works fast, unlike old-fashioned chelation that takes hours. Just log on to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim, A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M, angioprim.com. Angioprim users say they have more energy, more strength, more endurance. Increased circulation and blood flow will make all your body parts work better. Log on to angioprim.com to get more information on how you can get started and start feeling better, having fun, and doing more again. Lots more. Talk to a trained Angioprim consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221. Or log on for complete information. Angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Find out how Angioprim can work for you. Get the facts about Angioprim at angioprim.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, remember, you guys are our paycheck. You keep the things going around here, like us in the computers that we need and the software that we need and the things that we need to keep this thing going. So if you would, please go to resurrecttherepublic.com, click on that PayPal, give whatever you can. We don't ask that anybody hurt themselves, but I don't ask often, and I only ask when we could use it, and we could use it. So that being said, we'll move on. Just out of ABC News for a brief report here, Tulsa officer charged with manslaughter in Terrence Crutcher's shooting. You guys are aware of this, I'm sure, by now. Tulsa police officer Betty Shelby was charged with first-degree manslaughter in the shooting death of Terrence Crutcher. According to the Tulsa County District Attorney, Shelby will turn herself in, according to her attorney, Scott Wood. Shelby reacted reasonably by escalating the situation from a confrontation with Crutcher, according to an affidavit by the investigator with the Tulsa County District Attorney's Office. Shelby became emotionally involved to the point that she overreacted, the affidavit states, adding that she was not able to see any weapons or bulges indicating a weapon was present. The Tulsa Police Department said it would make a determination on her employment status after an internal affairs review. We will be posting this on resurrectedrepublic.com so that you guys can see it for yourselves. I'm putting it out on the Twitter feed and on the Facebook and on my Facebook for you guys to delve into that. It's going right now. So you can get into that a little bit later. So, where we left off, also keep in mind, folks, North Carolina is erupting in this summer of chaos style insanity. We're going to be getting to that a little bit later in the show, so don't drop off in the second hour, because the second hour might be more interesting than the first. Things are developing so fast that we really can't keep up with things minute by minute and give the detailed analysis that we like to give. I don't like to just tell you guys when things are happening. I like to try and delve a little bit deeper into why and how and who's behind it. So we were talking about, before we went to break, a certain favorite individual of mine, Mr. George Soros, the scumbag communitarian, communist politician, scumbag gangster bankster. So I think that I will leave it with Carl and Lori to take off from there.
Okay, well, where I left off was that this gentleman that Soros is backing here for the Henry County District Attorney, he didn't have to do too much work, actually. One of his contributions was in-kind contributions for research done, and they found that the guy that he was opposing had a few skeletons in his closet, and when the opposition, the new district attorney, made it known to him that he had the dirt on him, this guy, a Republican, backed out of the race. So, there's nobody running against this guy. Great job, Soros. And great job, company that put this together. Now, this is where it gets even more interesting. Because when we start looking at the corporations or the nonprofits, and this is all about nonprofits these days.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. The nonprofits that were associated with George Soros in this endeavor, one of them was called Safety and Justice. Mm-hmm. And Safety and Justice just happens to be located at 700 13th Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., Suite 600.
Would that be George Soros' office?
Well, you know, the funny part about that is that, you know, sharing the same office with this group is another group called Black Vote Matters.
Mm-hmm.
And also sharing space there in a 12-story building, I might add, is the law firm of Perkins Coie, or Cole, most people mm-hmm. think. As they're not Cole, it's Coie, C-O-I-E. That just happens to be the law firm that has been representing Obama in his ballot challenges and his birth certificate stuff, and they've been running interference for him since he took office. So they are there. There's other corporations there. There's a tie-in to a guy by the name of, what was his name?
Hmm?
What was his name, the Bonner guy?
The Bonner Group.
The Bonner Group, yeah.
And it's the white... His Hamilton vacation residence is...
Yeah. Now, what's his name? What's his name?
I don't know.
Okay. So she doesn't...
We're gonna have to get her a microphone one of these days. I love it.
She doesn't want to come on, but that's...
Isn't okay. She great? She's great. Yeah,
she's so smart
and highly intelligent.
There's a story out there right now about this Barner Group, because the guy, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but this guy is tied to the Hillary Clinton Foundation.
Well, of course, George Soros is tied to the foundation very strongly, and as well is, if you remember in the email leak, it also showed George Soros giving the Secretary of State foreign policy marching orders.
Oh, yeah.
David Brock.
And have you noticed?
David Brock is his name. There you go.
Right. And do you notice that the Clinton Foundation has their claws in everything that is corrupt globally and within the union, whether it be Oregon, whether it be with your situation or whatever the case may be, they're in everything. Everything corrupt, the Clinton Foundation is being linked to.
George Soros is the media end of
it. He's also got the media end of it at that same location.
So that's his part of it, the whole media.
Oh, his part of it. It's called Media Matters. You've heard of them before, right?
No, but that's one thing. He's the spreader through media for the elite.
So we know that. We know what we're dealing with here. We know that they're after me. They're after Paul, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is one of the ways they're going to do it. They realize that our success means their failure on a massive scale.
Right.
All we have to do is get that first meeting with the grand jury. And then I guarantee you folks, all hell is going to break loose.
Oh, yeah. You can believe it. And the globalist, this is the thing that I keep telling people on my YouTubes and different things like that, and I keep showing them globally. The globalists have got to have that illusion of being all-powerful. Guess what, people? They're not all-powerful. They are coming apart, and they don't want you to realize it. They don't want you to think by standing up you're strong enough to defeat their corruption. And it has been coming out, of course, in foreign media, because you're not going to get the union's media right now to cover it unless you're talking about alternative media like us, because you know that the Soros puppet media surely is not going to cover their downfall. But they are losing ground globally, everywhere.
Yes, they are, Lori. And, you know, I'm going to do my part to make sure they lose it locally.
Amen.
And that's, this is one thing that people don't understand, or they really don't understand the import of this, but it is the last bastion of freedom here in this country. It is the last bastion of the sovereign status of the people of this country.
Globally, there's nowhere to go if we don't have it here.
That's correct.
Nowhere.
If we lose the grand juries, if I fail in my endeavor, well, I'm hoping somebody else will pick up the banner and run with it for reasons I said to you earlier. But look, we can't fail. It's not an option.
You know, I think right now is the perfect time to say this. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people or to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, intervenes and designed to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferings of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. And that is where I will end up on that.
Well, amen to that.
And you know, when you go through that list, Tom and Carl, of the usurpations, every single thing listed in the Declaration of Independence has and is being done today and then some.
Well, I have an idea that we had the other night on the show, and I don't know whether it would be more symbolic or whether it would actually have some significance, but I am printing out, probably going to have professionally printed out a copy of the Declaration of Independence, and I am going to become a signatory to that declaration, and I ask all of my friends as I mail it to them to add their signature to that declaration as well. When I have enough signatures added to it, I am going to be sending a copy to the governor, to the county commissioner, to the State Department, to the Vatican, and heck, I'll probably make a paper airplane out of one and send one to Jesus H. Christ while I'm at it. I think that it's important that we, at a time where all of our tradition that made us at one time a people that were proud of what we had achieved, and we see that American culture, that essential identity being completely assaulted and assailed from every, I think it's important that we take a few steps back and embrace some of those traditions that made us great. For lack of a better campaign slogan, to possibly make this union great again.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that in the Declaration of Independence, this is what it says. Now, mind you, think of the Oregon situation. Think of Carl's situation. Think of all the individuals that we stand up for daily. And listen to this. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant and is unfit to be ruler of a free people. Nor have we've been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We've reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We've appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and of consequentity. We must, therefore, acquiescence in necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war and peace in friends. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with firm resilience on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Now think about the bar.
Yeah, think about that.
Think about the bar.
We don't have to think about that. We know what they're doing. We know what they are. We know what has been the bane of our existence. And after all, Shakespeare did, in fact, have it right.
You know, a couple of those officers there in Georgia were polite, but there were a few of them, when I had mentioned the Bar Association, that turned around and rolled their eyes and chuckled. Now, here's the thing. Here's a police officer who spent a few months in an academy, was never taught Constitution, was never taught the history of the Republic, who has the audacity to roll their eyes and laugh when I make comment of something of which many members of my family were member, and whom my father was a judge, and I grew up at his feet in his law library. It sickens me to my core to know that that level of ignorance is empowered with a badge and a gun and given the authority to enforce laws that they have no clue. Their idea of the laws now have become the force and puppetry of the Federal Reserve bankster, gangster, and communitarian scumbags that basically manipulate and pull off all of these false flag financial crimes, essentially, is what they all are. I mean, we can go back in foreign history to just about every major incident, including the sinking of the Titanic, and there was a hand of these bankers involved. And the truth of it is just, as technology increases, you know, I don't think that they ever expected back during the days when the Titanic hit the bottom of the ocean that man would be able to go down and take photographs of the side of the ship to realize that it wasn't the Titanic at all, but the Britannic. Mm-hmm. And to realize then, once their investigations were completed, that the ship that lays at the bottom of the ocean there had its keel broken, which is essentially its spine, and that it would have put the shipyard out of business, and that they had to essentially commit a financial crime to get rid of it. And on that ship that went down were all of the top, most elite, most powerful individuals that opposed what? The Federal Reserve communist central banking scheme.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we know all this now. We're learning our history. We're doing what we didn't do as kids. We're paying attention. And
yep.
Now we're being able to connect the dots. Okay, great. We've connected the dots with the media. They're no longer mainstream. They're worse than lamestream. They're treasonous. They're seditious. They are giving aid and comfort to the enemy. And I want to tell you that, in my humble opinion, they are enemy number one for America.
Amen. Hear, hear.
So when the festivities do begin, if they begin in earnest, I seriously hope that the people won't hesitate to make them the object of their dissatisfaction real quick. And change that, because the powers that be, the banking community, the industrialists that got that thing going back at the creature of Jekyll Island, those people are the bane of our existence. Mm-hmm. They are the families. They are the families and the families of the families that have been in control of this thing we call planet Earth for pretty much ever. And it's time that we have some new families going. It really is.
Well, I can tell you right now, I have enough finances to fix all the problems, my brother, but I do have enough finances to buy a good rope.
And that's all it takes, you know? How many of us does it take for the powers that be to come crumbling down? It doesn't take a lot. It takes a few good, successful forays into their domain. I'll tell you what, I plan on this being a successful foray. I'm more excited now today as I speak about the possibilities that are coming up, because you know, I'd love to be able to speak to you guys personally about this, but it's exciting. It really is.
And you'll be able to once it's time. There's a proper time for everything. Yeah.
And that's that is, well, you know, anyway, it's the not very distant horizon, let's just put it that way.
Right.
So we have things to be excited about. We have things to be thankful for. And I look to my Creator. I look to my God. And I thank Him every day for the hand He puts on my shoulder and the help that He gives me along the way. Because like you, Tom, like you, Lori, you know, we don't operate in the financial realm all that well. We operate in the realm of man.
Right. And of truth. You know, and we were all chosen for such a time as this.
Yeah. I just have to have faith in that, and I do.
What an honor. Think about that.
It is.
An honor.
It truly is. So, thank God I have people like Heather around, you, Tom, and any number of other people out there that are fighting the same battle, that are willing to go the distance and realize when something is of import that it deserves the support that it should have. And when I say that, I'm not talking about me personally or even the group that I'm affiliated with. Yeah. I'm talking about
our lives are not as important as the task at our hand.
That's exactly right. And the task is something that most people need to embrace because it's something we were not taught in school.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our civic duty and responsibility. When, what was it? Franklin said, I give you a republic if you can keep it.
Yeah.
How prophetic were those words?
Yeah.
You know? And we gloss over them so easily. We gloss over a lot of the sayings and writings of the founders back then, but they are more profound than anything I see written these days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And not all of them were on our side. That's the funny part.
Right. That's true.
You know, it's well, we keep finding out that the more we dig, the more we think, oh my God, did I really want to know that?
Right.
And it isn't about being affiliated with groups.
Yeah. There are no such things as groups. We are all kings and queens on this land. And we have a responsibility to one another. Now, if you want to call that being in a group or, you know, whatever label you want, you can. But let's face it, we are a nation of individuals.
That's right.
We realize that we can only be a nation this way if we come together as individuals.
Yeah. All right, everybody, hang with us.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to the face. Welcome to the face of the new democracy. Here in the land of the not so free. Oh, 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 oh,
statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make ProtoVite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for ProtoVite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. ProtoVite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago, when I started taking Protovite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points, and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, Protovite, for giving my life back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.